Will you pray with me? O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable and pleasing in your sight, for you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. This is the first installment in our summer sermon series, The Laws of the Heart, where we'll look at each of the Ten Commandments and examine how they're not merely orders, but focal points for our lives. They're not just a list of do's and don'ts. They invite us to look inside ourselves and recognize God's presence. The first law, the first commandment, is also called the law of reflection. It offers us a chance to think about the other gods in our lives, those people and ideas and things that we allow to get between us and the one true God. Now, back at the beginning of Exodus, God heard the lament of the Israelites trapped in slavery in Egypt. So he appointed Moses, a Hebrew rescued by an Egyptian princess and living in self-imposed exile in Midian because he killed someone, to be the one to lead the Israelites to freedom. And with God's help, Moses led the people out of Egypt and into the desert toward the promised land. But that's where the complaining began. When there was no water except for bitter pools, the people complained to Moses. Moses went to the Lord, and the Lord gave him instructions to make the water drinkable. A little while later, God led them to a place with 12 rivers and trees for shade. Manna was given to them to eat along the journey with specific instructions on how and when to collect it and how much. It took the Israelites a little while to follow directions. Sometimes the manna spoiled because they collected too much, or there wasn't any to be collected. Eventually they caught on, but it took a while. After about 3 months, they came to Mount Sinai, and the Lord summoned Moses to the mountain to receive further instruction about how they were to live as one in the wilderness as they made their way to the promised land. Moses must have been up that mountain for a pretty long time because the people became impatient. They turned to his brother Aaron and asked him to make new gods for them to follow. So out of contributions of gold came the golden calf. These people were frustrated and impatient and wanted another god that seemed less removed, more present, more visible. In spite of the fact that Yahweh had gotten them out of Egypt and made sure that they had enough of the things that they needed, they wanted more, they wanted it faster, and they wanted to be comfortable. For hundreds of years after Moses delivered the commandments, other smaller gods vied for the attention of the Israelites. Yahweh was there, but the Israelites struggled to live into having just one God. And maybe that's because wherever they went, like Egypt and Canaan, for example, the people had multiple gods. Worshipping just one might have seemed odd or maybe risky. After all, if you have multiple gods to cover potential circumstances, you're good, right? But even after hundreds and thousands of years, can we honestly say that we have just one God? We approach the first commandment as the law of reflection. It requires us to look at what might be driving a wedge between us and God. We're not looking at external gods cast in gold, but needs and wants and desires and priorities that keep us from God. We seek fulfillment in other places and people and things. We make ourselves a priority over God, especially when we feel distant from God or that God isn't acting quickly enough to bring us out of our own personal Egypt. Sometimes we even make God in our image, and we fail to remember it's supposed to be the other way around. Remember, it took the Israelites hundreds of years in the Old Testament to really understand what it meant to have no other God but God. The struggle continues today, and it's real. Now think back to junior high and high school. Maybe you wanted to hang out with the popular kids at school, and all your problems would be solved if you got into the in crowd. But in order to be accepted, sometimes you found yourself doing things that you wouldn't normally do, like drinking or smoking, or ignoring people that you actually really liked. And as adults, sometimes people go from relationship to relationship seeking love and acceptance and validation. We try to define ourselves through their eyes rather than looking inside and remembering we're a beloved child of God and God's love is unconditional. On your best days and your worst days, you are loved. When we have trouble finding God, especially when life hurts and it's a struggle, rather than allowing ourselves to feel the feelings, no matter how unpleasant they are, and turning to a strong, capable God for help, we try to extinguish feelings that we don't like. People try to numb themselves with drugs and alcohol. They try to find comfort in things and maybe binge shop to surround themselves with pretty things and gadgets that they don't really need to blot out the ugly. We might binge eat to stuff down feelings that we just can't face. Or, on the flip side, we might spend hours at the gym seeking outward perfection, hoping that will help us feel better about ourselves and will reclaim happiness. But by using these things to avoid pain and by putting them first to the exclusion of God, we miss out on the opportunity for faith to work and to let God make all things work together for our good. Sometimes humans make themselves gods and they don't even realize they're doing it. We say we believe in God but do ungodlike things in God's name to those who are different from us, either based on color or nationality, religion, gender, sexual orientation, economic status, even age, you name it. Who made us God? How did God become made in our image? Why are we right and they are wrong? By putting ourselves and our human parameters first, we're missing out on a chance for unity, a chance to learn from each other through our differences. We enslave ourselves in the boundaries of our own making. Just like we don't learn everything that we need to know in one day, our journeys of faith and spiritual growth are not supposed to happen overnight. It's not like the flipping of a light switch where, aha, we get it all at once. We're born in a day, and we learn throughout our lifetimes. We crawl, and then we walk, and we run, and we ride a bike, and we might even go surfing or mountain climbing. We live, we love, we get hurt, we grieve, we heal, and we start the process all over again many times in our lifetime. Knowledge of God comes in increments and in pieces for us to figure out how it fits into our individual lives because each of us is unique. Just like it took the Israelites centuries to understand what it meant to have one true God, not God as part of a pantheon or second to another God or second even to themselves. It takes us time to realize where one true God resides. Inside us, in our hearts. The first commandment, the law of reflection. I am the Lord your God, you shall have no other gods before me. It can be seen as a compass. It decides the orientation of our lives and helps us determine the right direction. The distractions of people and places and things and ideas and responsibilities can lead us astray if we allow them to supersede God. And you have to hold still to let the compass work. When you find yourself at a crossroads or feel stretched between two desires or needs, or you realize you don't feel right about the way you've been doing things and you need a change. The choices you've been making feel wrong. Or you're agitated or impatient to get out of Egypt and into the promised land. Be still and reflect. Give God a chance to show you the way and show you what little gods might be causing confusion. It's a journey you will likely take many times in your lifetime. I know I will. You might have to feel all the feelings that go with it, even the unpleasant ones. And it might take a lot longer than you would like. But the law of reflection is the one that will bring you home to God and home to the person that you're meant to be as a beloved child of God.